Your name?
Stephanie.
What brings you down to Occupy Wall Street, Stephanie?
Well, I'd like to tell my 99 percenter story. I grew up poor and orphaned. My dad passed when I was 6. My mother passed when I was 12. And I spent my teens bouncing between homes of different family members where I was not necessarily wanted. I was told to stay in school and work hard and that I'd be able to live comfortably, not living on food stamps, not, you know, wearing hand-me-downs and thrift store clothes, you know, being able to live comfortably and without fear or worry and, you know, just a nice, happy American dream middle-class lifestyle. So I started college when I was 16. I got great grades. I've worked two jobs to make ends meet pretty much the entire time while I've been in school full-time. And right now I'm 23, and I graduated this year cum laude with my master's degree in geography and a technical certification in geographic information systems. I also have associate's and bachelor's degrees. And these geography and geographic information systems, that's considered a STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it's a technical field these days. It's not underwater basket weaving. Anyhow, starting in January, I owe $700 a month on my $130,000 of student loan debt, and that's at 9.75% interest. So the total amount just keeps snowballing higher and higher as I keep looking for jobs desperately. Right now, I can't even pay my rent, and I live in fear of homelessness and eviction, and I have no place to go if I lose my apartment. There's no entry-level jobs in my field. There's jobs that require 7 years of experience that I don't have, and there's also unpaid internships, aka free labor. I've been applying to retail jobs, food service, housekeeping, cleaning toilets, and still there's nothing. Half of my student loan debt is private through Sallie Mae, so there's no income-based repayments, so even if I'm taking home $900 a month, they can still demand the full $700. There's no deferments for unemployment. There's no interest rate caps. And I can default if I go for 90 days without making any payments. And how can I even find any work if I default? It puts me in a catch-22 because 60% of employers check your credit. I want so badly to pay off my debt and to be able to buy a house, settle down, get married, have kids, live the American dreams. I just want to pay off my debt, but I don't even have a fair chance.
Stephanie, you've been looking for jobs?
Yes, I have. As I said, I've applied to jobs to clean toilets for a hotel, but I'm considered overeducated. I'm too smart, you know, as if they can't trust me because of my degrees. But I'm from a low-income background. Don't they see that I'm willing to work, that I'm willing to put in the hours, that I'm willing to get down on my hands and knees just to be able to live in my own home? You know, having grown up orphaned and bouncing between homes, I finally have my own apartment in my name. I finally have my own couch and my own bed and my own kitchen table. I don't want to have to trade that all in to be someone's roommate until I'm 35. And I don't think that's very entitled to ask. You know, it's what I told would happen if I worked hard and stayed in school, which I did.
What does it say about the priorities of the country that to get an education puts you in such a bind?
You know, as Thomas Friedman said, as our economy has progressed through different stages, there have been different forms of free education provided to the public. When we had an agricultural economy, there was free elementary education for the public. When we switched to an industrial economy, we had free high school education for the public. Now in our knowledge economy, we should have free college education for the public, as many European countries have. It's not too much to ask considering how much a college education has been devalued and how even $10 an hour secretary jobs demand that you have a BA.
What would that do for the country? What would that do for students?
I think that it would be basically...
And those who have graduated.
It would be pretty much a GI Bill on steroids. I mean, free education or student loan debt forgiveness would just inject hundreds of dollars back into the American economy, and instead of trashing the credit of those who are graduating, it would allow them to be able to take out home loans, auto loans, to be able to buy houses, you know, to be able to spend their money on basically whatever they want.
If you had a younger sibling, would you encourage them to go get higher degrees?
No, I would not. If I had a younger sibling, I would encourage them to go into a technical trade or even something along the lines of plumbing or becoming an electrician, even if their dream was to study art history, because I would not want them to have to go through what I've gone through.
How has the Occupy Wall Street movement here, how has it affected you?
I've had sort of an emotional response to it. You know, at first I was a bit skeptical because I did see a lot of, you know, hippies and so on, you know, whatever the Tea Party is trying to say about Occupy Wall Street these days. But, you know, within the first week, I started seeing middle-aged mothers coming out from the Midwest. I've seen old union workers. I've seen, you know, people from all backgrounds, all races, ethnicities, ages, income levels, all sorts of backgrounds. And I think it's a really beautiful thing. What I'm wondering is, why did it take the left so long to get this together? Of course, you know, for the right, it's very easy for them to unite under the rallying cry of screw you, more money for us. But for the left, it's, you know, socialism versus anarchism versus being a Daily Show liberal like myself. But, you know, even if I am a Daily Show liberal and I'm not a dyed-in-the-red commie, I still think that I ought to get off my couch, turn off Jon Stewart for once, and come out here. I can't just sit at home watching Bill Maher and ranting on Facebook. It's not productive.
Do you think it's a surprise that it's the young that are driving this movement?
Not at all, because, I mean, if you look at other countries that have been having uprisings lately, such as Egypt, Tunisia, Greece, even with the London riots, I mean, you see youth unemployment is one of the biggest issues. And right now, our youth unemployment is approximately 20%, to the best of my knowledge. And in Egypt, when they had the Arab Spring earlier this year, their youth unemployment was 9%. So, you know, we're past double, but I think America has just sat down and taken it for quite a long time without rising up. We've allowed the right-wing fringe to actually have some legitimacy within our government. And yet, you know, if you suggest anything such as, you know, healthcare for all or healthcare is a human right or, you know, even, you know, safe legal abortion on demand, you're looked at like a crazy. But, you know, if you suggest that all Americans ought to, you know, be within a Judeo-Christian religion, or if you suggest that rape and incest victims don't deserve access to abortions, or that, you know, as the House voted on last week, that women with life-threatening pregnancy should be turned away from hospitals, then people look at you and say, you know, interesting viewpoint. Let's put that out there for the media to consider instead of dismissing and trivializing it.
Any final thoughts you care to share out of this many hundreds or several thousand people pack into Zuccotti Park or Liberty Plaza?
I would like them to get involved in student loan reform and check out studentloanjustice.org, default to the student loan documentary, and Occupy Student Debt on Facebook to be able to get involved within their own community and to seek help through us if you're underwater on your student loans and if you're facing default.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.